Oh, sorry, I was dancing and got a little carried
Do you
away.
do that all the time?
No, I rarely do that, but I just wanted to let my pits hang out. Hey, fuckers, welcome to today's episode of the Mofo Show. And yes, I excluded the fuckettes because we have the lovely Yogi.
Welcome, fellow yogis. I have
You
followers.
have followers. She does. She has followers. She's actually way better looking and funnier.
I'm way cooler than you.
Yeah, you have a lot of charisma. Which brings us to the whole topic for today's episode. We thought we would talk about the proven proven scientific fact that opposites attract.
Yes.
Because we are the most similar couple you will ever meet. We do everything the same, we dress the same, we
Right.
talk the same, we have the same ideologies.
Right. We do have a lot of things, though, that just work, but there's a lot of things that are just polar opposite.
Holy shit.
Yep.
And that's been our joke from very, very early on in our relationship. We have the yogi and the warrior, right? And we have this concept of the podcast for the yogi and the warrior, which we're working on now. You guys seem to like it, and we're just going to kind of keep it rolling.
Right.
But she is a very peaceful, serene, liberal thinking,
Right.
calm, organized.
I could be more organized, but I'm more organized than you.
I'm just a fucking hot mess that screams a lot and loves heavy metal. Like, I just want to drive down the road listening to Five Finger Death Punch running over little kids. That's all I want.
And then I have my yoga music when you
Oh my
even,
God, when I
yeah.
get in her car and she's got the home,
It's like everywhere.
just makes me crazy. Makes
It
me
brings me
crazy.
peace. It brings me peace.
I get into this relationship that comes with an 8-pound Morkie where I am, we'll just say, lightly encouraged to say he's the cutest dog in the world at least twice a week.
Lightly encouraged. You love
Say
him.
you
You
love
love
him.
him.
Yes, that was like early on in our
Yes, you love
relationship.
him.
We had that talk where she was stopped and looked me right in the eyes and she was, "You say you love him."
Tell me you love him. How could you not love
Holy
Sammy?
shit.
Come
Well,
on
it's really
now.
easy. Peas in the house.
Everybody loves Sammy. Don't tell the dirty little secrets. He's
I've
perfect.
outed the monster. I have outed the monster. No, he is a lot of fun. He is 8 pounds of attitude, and I love taking him to the dog park. Reg, Yogi's daughter, has an Australian Shepherd who graces us with his presence on spring break in the summers. He's an Ohio State dog.
Yeah. He's a
But
Buckeye.
we throw Buddha in the mix, the black lab. So now we have two enormous dogs and the 8-pound Morkie. Well, the 8-pound Morkie is pretty sure he's bigger than
Yes,
the other two.
them both of them, yes.
So we go to the dog park, and they have the little dog park and then the big dog park. So we go in the big dog park with a little dog, and like, it's so funny because he just owns that
Oh,
place.
he
Like, he
owns it.
dominates it
He
when he
owns it.
goes in there. And it's not, it's just attitude. It's not, he doesn't like run around and bark at anybody, but he just does his thing. And if you come near him, he lets you know, like, nope.
He runs in there like with confidence.
Yeah, it is. It's
Yeah, his
totally
confidence. Yeah.
confidence. It's so cool. Like, I wish I had his
Me
confidence.
too.
Man, I would be 400 pounds and like 10 feet tall, freaking muscles on top of muscles. Like, just what do you want? That would be so amazing.
You'd be Jason
God.
Momoa.
Jason Mimosa, her love. Dude has incredible ink. Like, he's a good looking guy, and I fucking hate him.
I know.
And obviously, she does not hate him, but
No, I don't.
no, don't. I don't hate him a bit. Is
I
that
don't.
your new hotline? I don't hate you a bit.
Listen, I don't think he's the greatest actor in the world, but he's just really, really nice to look at.
It's like you're a Southern girl all of a sudden. Oh, bless your heart. I don't hate him. Okay, back on
Okay.
track. We're going to talk about our relationship, not your relationship with Jason Mimosa.
Right.
I say his name wrong on purpose. That's okay. I'm not jealous. So, Paula Abdul sang it best back in the 1990s that opposites attract. And I think that was the first pop song to have a rap song with cartoons in the video or some crazy shit like that. But I started looking into this because, I mean, we are flagrantly opposites. humans. Like, there's so little that we have in common. And I couldn't figure it out because we're going on 2 years together now.
It's been 2 years.
Sorry, we're going past 2 years together. I can't math. That's more fingers than I have. She's the brains of the operation, people. So, we still have not had an argument.
Right.
We've never struggled with jealousy.
No.
We've never struggled with pettiness.
Correct.
We've never, I've never felt ignored, alone, or unappreciated.
No passive aggressive.
Yeah, no passive aggressive. And it doesn't make sense because we should argue about everything.
Right.
Everything we should argue about.
Yeah.
I think I have traits that you don't love.
Right, and my and me too.
And we work around those. We don't
Yeah.
ignore them. We work around them.
Well,
And
it's
we,
who you are.
yeah.
It's who you are.
Yeah, and in that attitude served her attitude about it has served me very well instead of making me feel guilty about things that I did, which, you know, in previous relationships was the case. Let's get into that. Let's
Yeah.
deep dive that.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting.
We were kind of talking about this, you know, like think about your worst ex, your nightmare train wreck story, and then you see them with somebody else and you're like, what in the name of Zeus's butthole could that person see
See,
in that person?
Right.
Did you have thoughts on that? Because we were talking about
Yeah,
that.
no, I do. I think it's interesting, and but I think that we have shown up as a completely different person in this relationship. I think both of us have done the work to learn from our mistakes and to grow and have become a lot more self-aware, and we aren't the same, we aren't the same people. I know I'm completely different with you than I've been with any of my significant exes. And I think I'm a better person, for sure.
I dated a woman. My God, I'm trying to timeline it, and it was so long ago. It was right out of my first marriage. And it was, I think I was abused in this relationship, honestly. I think I was emotionally abused. It was really traumatic. But she forced me to reevaluate my attitude about women, my attitudes about being in a relationship. You know, it was kind of that the movie The Breakup. I want you to want to do the dishes. You know,
Right.
nobody wants to do the dishes. It was
Right.
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, as much as I hate her and as much damage as she did, I think she made me a better person in being more selfless in a relationship. But I also think that she pushed me over the edge where I became completely selfless in relationships. And
Right.
somewhere along the line, I developed codependency,
Right, where you lost yourself.
which
Yeah.
I had this article, and I'm just going to jump into this right now. Let me get to this because it's they're talking about attractions and opposites and things of that nature. But these types of relationships are different from the ones that happen organically. Sometimes people who are seeking relationships have formed trauma bonds, which affects the way they approach relationships. These people may struggle with self-esteem, confidence, and healthy relationship boundaries. So that trauma bond, I think, makes sense. I think codependent people look for codependent people.
Oh, for sure.
And so that just made sense
Any
to me. Like,
trauma
so that's
bonding,
some
yeah.
kind of attraction. When you
Yeah.
see those behaviors, you're like, oh, that's comfortable. I know
Yeah.
that. And I think I went into that situation. And then I read this, which got me pretty excited because I think I'm applying this to you. Tell me if I'm wrong,
Okay.
please. But in these cases, people may be making bad decisions based on attractions of deprivation. They may have a deep drive to seek out love and approval from their partners, even if their partners aren't capable of providing.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's,
Oh, that was totally me.
yeah, that sounds to
Yeah.
me a
Oh,
lot.
yeah,
You know,
for
we've
sure.
talked about that. But I mean, these are these unhealthy attractions.
Right.
And I'm just trying to lay into what you were just saying. We did the work. I read the books. I've been in enough relationships and tried to climb out a better person. Because the person I used to be was a horrible person. It was a horrible person.
Yeah, and when you say those things, like, I don't see that. I've never seen that in you. So for me, it's very mind-blowing. I just can't picture it
I
because that's
was
not how you are
really
with me.
reckless with people's hearts. I was really reckless with their feelings. And, I have some guilt for that. And I think I don't think I ever realized it. And then once I realized, there's a lot of self-help books, right? And reading
Yeah.
stuff, and I'm like, jeez, I did that, right?
Right, right.
And it's me trying to become a better person. Have I become a better person? Well, I've become a good fit in this relationship, I think is very fair to
Yeah.
say.
I think some of the times I feel and I've said this to you, and you can, I'm sure you can recall numerous times I've said this to you, like, you really love me. And there are moments when I feel your love so strongly. And often it's in the moments I know you're doing something you don't really want to do, but you're doing it because you love me. And you're doing it very willingly, and you're doing it with a great attitude. Like, you don't begrudge it, you don't minimize it. You do it, because you love me. And there's those moments that I'm like, wow, he really loves me. And that's pretty cool.
I think it's just because I'm pathetic and can't stand up for myself and say no.
Oh, stop it.
No, but so do opposites attract? And this old saying, you've got do opposites attract, and then you've got birds of a feather flock together. And one of the coolest things that I got through this, just to sum it up real quick, opposites largely do not attract. Birds of a feather, not necessarily. People are attracted to kindness. I never realized that. And they
I would have, yeah.
feel kindness can be seen in a person's face.
Oh.
And they're attracted to that. Whereas you look at Jason Momoa and you're like, oh my God, that is an attractive human being. Are you seeing that because he's a kind person, or are you seeing that because the guy's just chiseled out of freaking stone? I mean, like,
Right.
that's interesting. But then the normal people who aren't as beautiful as Jason Momoa, like, do we find attractiveness in our partners because we see kindness? Their other big thing is pheromones. They, you know,
Yeah, you talk about that a
I
lot.
do, I believe in pheromones. I really do. I mean, you look at so many animals, primates, dogs, I mean, all these things, and the way that they communicate through scent. I just believe that there's a level that has to be there. I grew up, like doing sleepovers all the time at people's houses, and people's houses to me always had a scent. And there were people's houses that I didn't like being in because I didn't like the scent. Now, is that pheromone? I don't know.
Oh, it just might be a sense that you are very, one of your senses that are a little bit more attuned. I don't know. You must really like my smell.
And I do. And anyways, I do believe that that is a piece of it. But what I read in this article, like I was trying to get to before I ADD'd my way around it, is they talk about complementary traits. And I think that might be where some of our success lies, is these complementary traits. Things that you do that I need. It's almost offsetting each other in some ways.
Yeah.
And
Where one where I lack, you have, and vice versa. In areas that you are lacking, I might have more.
I described our relationship early on as being a white bed of flowers with a single red rose in the middle, and that red rose was me. I was that chaos in your otherwise calm life. And I think that's kind of played out. I think it's kind of proven to be the case. Like, I am the whirling dervish in your house, making messes all the time. I am running around screaming, cranking the radios. I think that's like, you could tell I'm in a room because the radio's turned up. Then she comes in and, turns it down. And And I go in the next room and turn it up, and then she comes in and turns it down. Cause
I like my music loud, but sometimes it's a little loud.
I always like my music loud because I'm deaf.
Yeah.
So I thought it'd be interesting to ask a couple questions here and just contrast some of our answers.
He's like looking at me with this like
intent.
Yes.
Very like, wow, what are you gonna do here? What's your favorite all-time movie?
I have a lot of different movies that I love. But, and this is going to maybe sound really cheesy, but whenever anybody asks me this, I always say G.I. Jane. And
G.I. Jane.
And I don't know why. And I think for me, it was like that first taste of, like, I just loved Demi Moore in that movie. She was just such a badass. And I wanted to be her. Like, I wanted, you know, like, I wanted that. And maybe it was a time in my life that I was looking for that strength and that confidence and that drive to do something that just kind of, it just resonated with me. But of course I love, you know, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and Grease and, you know, I mean, there's so many other movies, but that movie just really, I think just, it did something for me. I don't know.
What's yours? Love Furnace Dying. My favorite movie of all time is The Breakfast Club.
Oh, The Breakfast Club. That's a good movie, yeah.
I believe I've seen that movie 200-300 times.
Yeah.
I used to have it on a VHS tape, and I would just turn it on in the background of my life. Like, I loved that movie. I loved it. It spoke to me.
Yeah.
It spoke to me. I wanted to be the John Bender, and I don't know if I ever was the John Bender, but I wanted to be him. I wanted to be...
Yeah.
Yeah. That was... It just... That to me was the movie of my time. You know, John Hughes, everything he touched was amazing. I mean, 16 Candles.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Obviously, my all-time hands-down favorite Christmas movie, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, John Hughes. Like, that guy was just a stud. And so all of his movies feel like home to me.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just,
I can see that.
Yeah. But that's Breakfast Club. It's my all-time favorite, absolute favorite song. Movie, excuse me. I was already thinking ahead to the next question. What's your favorite song?
I don't know that I have a favorite song. Well, I shouldn't say that. I think Hallelujah, no matter that, it is just...
Whose rendition?
What's his name? Cohen?
Well, I don't even know.
Yeah. Although, there's just a lot of renditions that I love.
I really like Pentatonics.
Pentatonics is good. I mean, I don't think that there's really a bad one. That song really just moves me every time I hear it. I think Amazing Grace is also hands down one of the most beautiful songs. So a song that I'm going to love, it just has to stir me on the inside. And
right.
I like to let it move me where it's supposed to move me. And there's times, I mean, you've heard me play songs over and over and over and over and over again. And I'm getting something from the song. And I have to play the song until I get what I need from it. And sometimes I have to have it on repeat again and again because I'm so moved by the song. And then I'll be like, okay, yep. It did what it needed to do. Sometimes I cry, sometimes I dance, sometimes I don't know. But if a song moves me, gets me in the soul. I love music. Love music.
Yeah, and I'm very much the same.
Love
music.
There's
always music on in
this
house.
Yes, there is.
It has to be that way.
Yes.
Sometimes it contrasts a little, but the life goes
but it's,
on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind when you play music. Like, I listen to all your, I love your music, and I know my music is a little bit more, you don't love it as much as I tolerate your music, you know? Like,
right, I struggle with your calmer, soothing zen, like, that doesn't do it for me. Like, my favorite song right now, you know, music shifts with me. It shifts with me, but I've been on about a 2-year kick now of Jekyll and Hyde by Five Finger Death Punch. And that's one I can just put on repeat and listen to over and over and over because I feel like that song gets me.
Yeah.
You know, like when the lyrics of that song just, yes, there's a monster inside. And that's been my PTSD battle.
Right, right.
And I feel like I share that moment with them when that song is playing. Like, you know, like, it's like this embrace between me and them. Like, I get you. I see you. I hear you. I love this.
Yes.
I think one of my all-time favorite songs that's always guided me is Let It Be by the Beatles. Mm-hmm. I've used that as a mantra.
That's a great mantra.
I'm big into mantras, but I'm just, It's so simplistic, but it's just over and over. It's soothing. Just let it be.
Yeah.
We can't solve everything. We can't fix everything. Just let it be.
Yeah, that's a great one. You know, when I was going through my divorce and everything, one of the songs that I loved was Coldplay's Sky Full of Stars. And that song just got me going. And it really, when I hear that song, it takes me back to that time. And I can actually get that feeling going again when I hear that song. It felt to me like a world of opportunity ahead of me.
That's cool.
Sky full of stars, you know.
That's cool. Yeah, I think it's very interesting that we're both very moved by
By
music.
music, yeah.
You actually listen to a lot of podcasts.
I love listening to podcasts. I listen to them all the time. I learn so much from podcasts. I think they're fascinating to listen to, and there's so much value out there in them. And I listen to all different kinds.
Do you have a favorite podcaster?
Yes, I love, I love Rich Roll. He is an ultra marathoner. He's sober. He's a yogi. He's a vegan. His wife is this beautiful yogi, vegan as well. And he just has really cool people on his show. Very inspirational people. He talks about mindfulness, yoga, food, marathons, just really cool stuff. Like, he's my favorite. I love Tommy Rosen. He also is a recovering alcoholic and drug addict, and he is a yogi as well. I listen to a lot of spiritual podcasts. I like to listen to mindfulness podcasts, things that are just going to keep me on the path. So I listen to a lot of that. So.
I'm a huge fan of Five Dirty Bikers. It's a podcast I found, and it's just phenomenal. They talk a lot about motorcycles and other related bullshit, and I find it very amusing. I think more than podcasting, I get into YouTube, which is very similar, right? Just a little more visual. I'm a huge fan of John Lovell, the warrior poet, who you're just shaking your head like, never heard of him.
Right.
He shares a lot of his politics, spiritual beliefs, and he's obviously a firearms instructor and has many valuable opinions on such. I get so into everything, his messages and what he's teaching. Just absolutely phenomenal. The other podcast, YouTubes, I'm totally into Brandon Herrera, the AK guy. I love that guy, and Rob Ski from the AK Operators Union. That's the stuff. It's funny because you come down here when I'm not working and it's just guns, 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 guns on the TV everywhere. But I mean, that's my soothing space. And obviously, I just started my new job in there. And I mean, like, granted, today's my third day and I don't know everything I'm going to emotionally feel in this place. But man, I walk in there and I imagine it's a lot like you walking into a yoga
Yoga
studio.
studio.
I walk in and I can just smell the carbon. Just,
And I smell the incense and I'm like,
and
oh,
there it
sage. I'm
is.
like,
It's the
oh,
yogi and the
so
warrior.
yeah.
It's so funny because you'll walk out to your car with your yoga mat rolled up, and I'm locking in my holster and tucking in another mag to go where I'm going. And
Yeah.
it's just that diametrically opposed concepts. Let's talk about food. What's your favorite food?
Ice cream.
I know, ice cream.
Ice cream. Even bought my own little ice cream maker.
She did. She just bought an ice cream maker. She and her daughter came up
Yeah.
with a whole business plan
Yeah.
the other day. They're gonna make their own ice cream. Like, we have
We're
this
going to be the
company
next
here in
Ben and
Minnesota,
Jerry's.
Mitchell's, that's phenomenal, that they started that way, and they want to be the next Ben and Jerry's. And you know
Yes.
what? More power to you, because I'm happy to try the mistakes and the runoffs. So
I love ice cream.
she does love
I do
ice
love
cream.
ice cream. Like food, I love Mexican. I love Italian. I love all food.
You are equal time,
Yeah.
equal opportunity eater,
Yeah.
but you're also very excited by vegetarian and vegan
I
lifestyles.
do. I it, it I am. I love it. I don't love meat. Never really have. I will eat it now. I was vegan for a while. It's hard.
Vegan is an old Indian word for bad hunter. I
Okay.
don't think she believes me. I see, and I find that interesting because she'll get on the vegan streaks and the
Yeah.
vegetarian. She's made me some vegetarian meals. I mean, don't get me wrong, I will eat the food that my food eats. I don't mind it. I like salads. You put a little zing on it, that
Yeah.
makes me happy. But I am a red meat. And my favorite food in the world is a very well prepared and cooked steak. There is nothing that makes me happier.
Yeah.
Nothing that makes me happier than a nice thick fillet some caramelized onions and mushrooms and some feta. Oh,
Yeah. Well, you know,
can't beat
now
that.
like I don't like preparing meat. Like I can't, you know. I mean, I can't handle the chicken. Like I don't want to see it raw. I don't like. So now that you kind of prepare it and give it to me, that and when it's already cooked, like I can eat it a little bit better than when I see have to see it and handle it raw. Don't like that. I did get better about that when I had kids because I needed to be, but yeah.
It's funny because, you're talking about not being able to prepare processed meat that you got from the store, and I'm all like gutting a deer.
Right.
Like,
Ugh.
yeah, don't even care.
Yeah.
Oh, look, a liver. Fling!
Ugh. I know.
Actually, shouldn't fling a liver. That's good red meat. But, I've never been a fan of heart and liver. We got a couple guys in our party that used to eat the liver, and I'm just not a fan. Just
I
because it's
just
supposed to be
can't.
very iron rich, I believe.
I can't.
Yeah, no, livers. My dad likes liver. He used to feed me liver as a kid. And,
Oh, my mom used to make liver and onions too.
oh, it was like a thing for their
Ugh.
generation. I don't know what it was, but
Yeah.
I bet
Don't
you
like it.
liver sales have dropped dramatically since the 90s or
I'm
the
sure. I'm
80s.
sure.
It was so popular. Oh, we're gonna have livers and onions and
Yeah.
bacon and it, oh.
I used to spit stuff out in my napkin when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I always had that clear your plate. Ugh, I hated that shit. Hated that shit. The old man called me the other day and told me he was making liver, and I was like, "What the fuck is wrong with you, Dad?" I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like there was something wrong with their palates back then. I feel like they just grew up eating that 40s and 50s
Yeah, but
food,
you know,
and
there
it.
wasn't as much processed food back then, you know?
No, there
I mean, there
wasn't.
wasn't. Now, like, we have so that's the problem with other, you know, now. The processed food is just so bad for us, you know? Like, I would rather eat the cookies that I made home from scratch than, you know, the bag of cookies at the store. You know, there's just too many processed foods out there. That's we got to get rid of that.
I agree. What's the thing in the grocery store where you're just supposed to walk around
Yeah, the
the
outsides.
outside and not go into the aisles?
Yep.
Something to that effect. So let's talk about how we met. Because we met on Hinge.
We talked a little bit about this
Right.
before.
You were gonna swipe left on me.
Oh, I would have never swiped on you at all. No,
I
never.
love bringing this up.
Yeah. No, I saw your pictures a couple times. It came up, like you came through and I saw the pictures and I don't know why. I just didn't love I don't know if
So you're
I
saying I'm ugly.
No, it
Yeah.
just wasn't it was the picture. Like and
Fucking
the I think
mofo's out, man.
you had the military picture in there, which and I think there was a was there a motorcycle picture in there? There might have been. I
Okay.
think I was just so at that time I was really trying to go outside of my type. And I think you just resembled a little bit more of my, like what would have been my typical type, you know? And so I think I was trying to go away from that and try different at that time. Like, you know, I hate to say that, you know, I hate to say this, but sorry, any short guys, but I always like tall, you know? I mean, I was like 6 foot. Like, I always wanted somebody with like 6 foot or high, you know, taller. And so I actually had gone on a date with two dates actually with somebody who was my height, and I was like, I have to try this, you know, like I have to try to break the habit, the pattern of dating the same person. So I was really going outside of my comfort zone, out going outside of my box, and I think that's why I probably didn't really want to swipe on you until you came, you know, you.
5'11" didn't make the cut. It had to be 6 foot.
Well, and how horrible is that? That's why I was like, you know what, Shelly, you can't do that. You know, like you
You didn't
can't
want to date me over an inch.
over an inch.
Wow. This is the life I
Yep,
lead.
you had to
Like,
be 6 foot.
I'm an inch, not an inch long enough. And no, don't take that anywhere else, guys, because it's not happening. But I'm 6'4" in that bedroom. But wait, no, just kidding. I'm really not. Anyway, moving on.
Yes, please, let's move
Your mom listens to this podcast. My dad listens. My dad's like, hell
okay.
yeah, tell him.
Keep
No,
it clean.
keep it right. My language is always clean and appropriate at all times.
All right, so go back. What do you want to know? What else do you want to know?
What else do I want to know? What's your favorite color?
No, we were talking about us dating.
Oh, I can't
Jeez,
stay
come
on
on,
track.
stay
Oh, fuck.
focused.
Light some sage. Let's make this place like a safe space. Yeah, you didn't. I thought it was interesting that, we're talking about attraction. Opposites attract. We don't attract. I had to chase you down with a stick.
You didn't have to fight that hard.
Yeah, I did.
Now, I will say, And I think we touched on this in a previous podcast about like the red flags and that, you know, the big butterflies, the strong, strong chemistry can be a red flag. And it can be, and I was very much searching for that, to not have that big, strong chemistry. Like that was important to me because I did learn that, from all the dating that I was going on and all the different dates that like that strong chemistry really does show you that there could be a red flag. And so with you, it was different. And I felt chemistry. It wasn't like I didn't, because you have to have chemistry, right? You have to be attracted to each other. I did have chemistry with you, but it was very even and it was very steady. And that to me felt very safe and it felt very good. It was what I was looking for because I knew from that it would just grow from that point. And I knew, my attraction to you was growing more and more the more we talked and the more we had conversations. And you just made me feel very, and that's not the way to word it, but like I felt very, you tapped into my womanhood somehow, and I really felt like a woman with you. And
Rawr.
that was very attractive. Like I liked that. I
Okay.
liked that.
Okay. Well, I just thought you were hot and you had a great butt, and I just chased after you. No, we had some pretty cool conversations right off the
Yes,
bat,
we
and I
did.
think the fact that we were so honest about how broken we had been and how hard we were trying to,
Do it right.
well, not and
Different.
how much work we had put in
Yes.
equally. I think you had done better than I had because I mean I still hadn't uncovered my PTSD at this point, so I had no idea how jacked up I was. But I just know that I had been in enough bad relationships that I was responsible for that I had to change behaviors, and I feel like I got better. And being able to communicate that with you, you know, and you identifying the things in your relationships that hadn't worked, the things that you wanted to change. It became a, you know, a solid bond of attraction based on so many things. But I think that was the exciting part is we both had discovered our value to ourselves.
Yes. And I think that goes back, that ties in with why we don't fight. We haven't had an argument. You know, I respect you. You respect me. And we've done the work to show up differently that I've been passive aggressive before. I mean, like I'm a bang slamming things around and, you know, because I'm angry about something else. And I don't do that. I don't show up as that person with you because I'm more honest with you. I'm safe to share my feelings with you. I'm safe to share things with you. You take it very well. There hasn't been a lot I've had to do that for, but I will make requests. You'll be like, "Oh, is this a request?" You know, like,
Because I'm never a smart ass ever.
well, just like the little things around the house. You know, I mean, you're not as neat as I am. Especially in some of the more open spaces, you know, like the popcorn bag, right?
And then her daughter does the same thing. Like, I make microwave popcorn and then I have to get it out of the bag. Otherwise, I feel like it continues to cook and burns, right? Because the bag is really freaking hot. So I dump it into my plastic bucket that I have specifically for popcorn. And then if you try to fold the bag, it burns your hands. And if you throw it right in the garbage bag, it will melt the plastic of the garbage bag. So I always set mine on the counter next to the garbage just because when I come back through the kitchen, it'll be cooled down and I'll throw it away. Oh, that drives you
Well,
fucking
and then it
nuts.
never gets thrown away. That's the thing. But anyway,
False.
are we gonna have our first fight?
Here it is. We're gonna have our first fight live on the podcast. Listen. No, I'm kidding.
No, I think we talk through a lot of
Well,
things.
and that's
We,
the important piece too. You're like, hey, you know what? This makes me fucking crazy. Okay, cool, because that's just too easy.
yeah. If you don't know it's broken, you can't try to fix it, you know? So you have to communicate. We have to share. And I think that's really important. And I don't think that either one of us tries to control the other person. That's another really, really big thing. You know, we have so much freedom in our relationship that we don't need freedom. You know, we don't have to fight for it, you know, and that's really important. And I want you to go and be able to do the things that you need to do to fulfill you and your soul, and you want the same for me.
Yeah.
And so we respect that, a lot of that. So I don't begrudge you any moments of going and doing something alone or with the guys, or, you know, you're going to go to nationals by yourself this year. And I think it's wonderful. You know, I think it's great. As much as I want to go and experience it with you, I want you to go and do that on your own too. And you want the same for me. That's a big deal too. So we're not like, you know, you don't have to feel bad about going, because I encourage you to go. And so then we don't hold and harbor those resentments.
Yeah, that's a pretty sweet deal. I mean, mm-hmm. I think back to, you know, like, I think our first example of that, if I remember right, was I went to that run of the wall out mm-hmm. in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And it was over Memorial Weekend.
Memorial Day. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, hey, I'm going to go do this shit with my buddies. You know, we're going to go ride our motorcycles and go play on our bicycles. No, we don't mm-hmm. have bicycles. But, you know, and she's like, cool, have fun. I was like, wait, yeah. What? Where's the guilt trip? Where's
right.
the... Well, you know, we're having this whole thing up at the cabin. I don't want to be alone. There was none of that shit.
Yeah.
It was like, cool, have fun.
You know, I've always wanted to, I worked really hard too, even as a parent, to show up. My son was, we had a little conversation the other day, and he was saying how I have a couple qualities that are a little annoying. And he loves me to death. He's my number one fan. And I didn't take offense to it. You know, I try to show up very humble in all my relationships, and I tried really hard with my kids too. Like, I didn't want them to ever be afraid to share their feelings with me. I didn't want them to think that mom would ever get mad because they're gonna tell me, mom, I think you're on your phone too much, or I don't feel like you're paying attention to me, or I don't, you know, like, you don't like to hear these things, but I need to hear these things so I can be a better person. And I think that we do that for each other as well. You know, like, we give each other positive feedback, but I don't take it personally. So I don't get offended, and I don't feel like I have to defend it. And I think about it, and then I try to make some changes. You know, I just don't want to be that person that's unapproachable about things.
Yeah, no, and you're highly approachable. There's nothing I don't feel comfortable. I remember the, like, our one issue that I had to talk about, like, it was just so stupid, and I've always been comfortable saying anything to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think there was something I had talked to you about, some changes I needed to see, like, I was hoping that you could make for, you know, and, you know, the next morning you rolled over and said, thank you for sharing with me last night. You know, I don't want to hear that. But I certainly don't want to hear from you, I can't do this relationship anymore. And you did make the changes. You know, you did that for me. And that also shows me love. Like, in those moments, I feel, wow, like, this man really, really loves me. Because you did receive that from me, and you tried to make the change. And when you see people doing that, like, that's pretty cool. And that feels really good. To know that you're doing that for me, for us, for this relationship. And I do believe that you and I, you know, we said this from early on, that we're committed to this relationship, and we're committed to the growth of this relationship. And you and I try to grow individually, but we really are growing this relationship as well. And so I know that when we tackle the hard stuff, like, we're going to do it together, and we're going to learn from, you know, we're going to have a fight. It's going to happen, you know, at some point. But I believe that we are so committed to learning from that fight, learning from those moments, that we'll come out the other side better.
How fucking hard is it to throw away a popcorn bag?
It's
why
not,
do you have to bitch at
it's
me?
It's not that hard.
You can fucking throw it away.
It's not that hard. The other thing is, you know, the laundry basket. I mean, the socks land outside the laundry basket, and they just never make their way in.
Oh, my God. I watch hockey, and I love hockey. I don't play basketball. So, yes, I miss the fucking laundry basket.
Oh, it's so funny. I'm like, it's like right there. All you have to do is bend down and pick it up.
I just throw bricks. I suck at putting things in the laundry basket. In my defense, I brought that all down today.
Yes, you do. You know, you are the laundry guy. You do. You do the laundry.
I think that's one of our things is, how do I, I'm trying to word this and I'm just dead airing it. I feel bad about that. But, like, there's the well, it's complementary traits, I guess. You know,
Right,
there's things
yeah.
that we provide, things that we don't provide, but also that ability to communicate when effort's needed, I guess, which is everything you just said. So I'm just being redundant.
Because I have all the good words today.
You have the power. You do. She's winning this one. I think I won the yoga debate. We don't have to talk about that hippy-dippy bullshit anymore. We're going to just disband all the yoga studios and we're going to outlaw meditation. Welcome to the mofo world, the
Outlaw
mofo
meditation.
nation. Outlaw meditation. Anyone caught meditating will be corporal punishment. We're going to cane people.
I really think you should give it a try again.
I
Oof. Oh,
think you should
he's.
throw away the popcorn bag. Not bitch about it.
I love you.
I love you. And the dogs love us. And on that note, we should probably get them lunch. So, hey, get out there, kick the tires, light the fires, go fast, don't die, and remember, safety third.